May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God. Amen. Well, let me ask you a question. How did the terrible, tragic news from Paris yesterday affect you? Let me tell you how it affected me. I'd had a busy week and I didn't get to my sermon preparation. Really, I wasn't going to find time to do it until tomorrow. Until yesterday. And that's how busy I've been. And I was trying to prepare it yesterday and the news came through from Paris and it was really hard to focus, boy. I was preparing to ask you guys to give money to the church and I was distracted. I'm thinking, is it relevant to ask this? I remember when September 11 happened and I made a mistake at the church I was at. I didn't change the sermon. I actually just preached the same sermon. So I'm thinking about this and I'd finished the sermon and then during the night, I got up last night and I changed a fair bit of the sermon. Spent most of the night doing that. So here it goes. Because I was going to talk about reactions to our generous giving campaign, but I don't think it's relevant when we're all thinking about what happened in Paris. The news is dominating our minds. We had the privilege of staying 5 days in Paris a couple of years ago, and we walked around and we saw the sights. And I guess a number of people from here have actually been there, or you've actually heard about Paris. It's a really well-known city, famous. It's the city of love for many people. But I guess now it's the city of terror. Evil occurred yesterday. Our Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, no matter what you think of him, I think he said some very true words on television yesterday. He said, these acts of terror were done in the name of God. But in reality, the actions were demonic. The killing of innocent people. What does it show? It shows that our world is in such a mess. It demonstrates that sin is living and active in our world. And it shows to us that our world needs to hear about not Muhammad or Allah, but the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our response should, of course, drive us to prayer. And I found a good prayer. And so now we're going to spend some time praying this. It's a longish prayer, but it's good to spend time in prayer, reflecting upon the tragic events of yesterday, Black Friday. So would you join with me in praying for the people of Paris? Lord God Almighty, you are the ruler over the universe and in control over all things. We hear this trumpet blast from Paris, reminding us so powerfully that we are not living in heaven, where there is no more crying, pain, war, suffering or terror, but we are living here below on earth, where there is sin, selfishness, sickness, disaster, and acts of terror. We pray for those families and friends who are being told of the deaths of people that they love. We ask for comfort for them, that they may have a sense of your love for them. Lord, we can't identify with their pain, but, O Lord, you can. For you watched as your son Jesus was brutally murdered by wicked men. Lord, you know these people's pain and hurt and anguish. We thank you that your son Jesus died to pay for the wickedness of the world. Thank you that you raised him again as ruler and judge. We thank you, Lord, that ultimately all will be held accountable before him. And we pray that the victims' families may take comfort in that. Lord, we pray for the earthly response. We thank you for the emergency responders. We pray for the hospital staff and the medical people. We pray also for the law officers in France that you would help them to act wisely, safely and quickly. Lord, we pray for the leaders of France, that the leaders of the world that you and the leaders of the world, Lord, we ask that you might give them wisdom as they respond to this situation. And Lord, we beg you that you might protect us here in Australia from incidents like this. And Father, we pray that people around the world might turn to you in repentance to seek forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his powerful name. Amen. Our world is more and more uncertain. People my age, younger and a bit older, our youth and children are growing up in a different world. I was talking to somebody at 8 o'clock this morning, a group of people, and they said, when we were young, it was the Second World War, but we knew who were the enemies. We could identify them. Here, you can't identify. Life is so uncertain. I think the news from Paris gives a greater urgency to the need to hear and respond to the message of Jesus. And this is the link that I've found with our generous giving campaign. You see, I think it gives us an impetus to say our young people, the youth, the children in our church, and the children and youth in our community need meaning, hope and significance, and they need that which is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to focus on how can we better tell more young people about Jesus. I was going to talk a fair bit about responses to the generous giving campaign. I just want to give you one. We had a discussion at Parish Council on Thursday night and talked about the reactions. Just one somebody gave. They said, Richard, I know you've got to talk about money, but couldn't you have just, instead of four sermons, had just one? My response is to that is twofold. Well, unfortunately, not everybody comes to church every week, and maybe they might have missed that one. But secondly, and more importantly, when you look at Jesus' teaching, he teaches 38 parables, nearly half of them 16. 16 parables have to do with how we handle wealth and money and possessions. And also the Bible has 500 verses about faith, 500 verses about prayer, but 2,000 verses about how we handle wealth and possessions. You know, if we were following Jesus' pattern, instead of four sermons on money and possessions, we'd have 26 in a year. Half our teaching should be on that. So we just got four. But our sermon series is about using our money wisely and giving generously to support God's work. Now, we don't want to say you have to give everything to support God's work. You keep enough for your own needs. We are to enjoy life, but we're to give a generous percentage. And why are we to give? Well, point number two on our handout. We're to follow the example of Zacchaeus. He shows great joy as he encounters Jesus. He says, if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to pay them back four times. He says, I'm going to give half my money away to the poor. Now, you notice he says he's going to give half. He's going to go from an extremely wealthy guy to just a wealthy guy. He's still going to be wealthy. There's no sin in being wealthy. But let's find out why he was so extremely wealthy and why that was probably wrong. Zacchaeus is a short man, but he's powerful. He climbs a tree to see Jesus because he's longing to see him. He's described as a chief tax collector. He operates in Jericho, which is a Roman regional center for tax collecting. He takes a percentage from other tax collectors. In those days, you could charge as much as you like and give a certain amount to the Romans and then keep everything else. So it was ripe for exploitation. I guess an equivalent today would be a loan shark. You know, people that operate in really poor areas where they prey on people's lack of money and offer them a loan at exorbitant interest rates? We look down with scorn on those people, rightly so. Well, Zacchaeus was like that. Jesus is travelling through Jericho. Zacchaeus wants to see him, but the crowd is too large and he's short. So he climbs a sycamore tree. Now in the DVD, I don't know if it was a sycamore tree, but let me explain what they're like. It was a bit like one. They have a short trunk and they have low branches. So somebody with short limbs like Zacchaeus could climb it. And Zacchaeus is greeted by Jesus by name. And Jesus says, I want to go and stay with you and eat with you. Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus really gladly. Have a look on the front of the handout. You'll see a couple of pictures from the Jesus film. And Zacchaeus is the guy in the hat, obviously. And you can see he's not much taller than people sitting down. Yet the reaction of the crowd is interesting. They say, Zacchaeus, he's a sinner. And Jesus has gone to stay with him. Zacchaeus is joyful in meeting Jesus. And yet Jesus welcomes him. And he says, Zacchaeus is the sort of guy I've come to save. Look at verse 10. For the Son of Man, that's the term Jesus uses to describe himself, came to seek and to save what was lost. We know Zacchaeus meets Jesus and it changes him totally. Gives half his money away. He says, if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to pay them back four times what I've cheated. And Jesus says, this man too is a son of Abraham. He has been restored into a true relationship with Jesus, with Abraham, with God. And from this relationship flows joyful generosity. When we talk about giving, that's the key. It should flow from our joyful relationship with Jesus that we just want to give to enable more people to have that joyful relationship, joyful generosity. In this campaign, we're asking people to support the church's ministry, especially to youth. Now, our youth minister, Stephen John McKenzie, I think that's right. Is that right? Stephen John McKenzie? Yeah, that's on his email. That's how we know his name, email address. He came down this week because on Wednesday he did his final exam at Moore College. And he was really excited about that. And he came down on Thursday to actually look at the house that we've found for him. We don't have another church house, so we have to rent a house. We've found one, we think, just near Mittagong Primary School. And we also have to pay for him as a full-time minister, and it costs a lot of money. But he is keen to come and to work with our youth and our young adults, telling them about Jesus and training and teaching them to tell others about Jesus. Now, it means we have to raise our offertory by 35%. So we've been talking about this. We're asking people to help in two ways. Firstly, we have an opportunity to give a birthday gift to the church. And we've been handing these out for the last 4 weeks. If you don't have one tonight, just on the trolley at the back as you go out, there's one of these envelopes. See a big envelope? And within this is this little envelope. You can give a birthday gift to the church. Because on Wednesday, the church turned 137 years old. The first service was in 1878 on the 11th of November. So you can do that today. And you can give it. And if you want to give it next week or the week after, that will be fine. But tonight we're going to ask people, if they've already brought it, to come and give it at the end of the sermon. And I'll tell you how we do that right at the end. Also, we're asking people to think about making a pledge of what you can give each week next year to our churches, fund the church's ministry. We're asking people if they want to write their name, but that's entirely optional. Some people find it helpful if you actually write your name that you're more likely to follow through on this. But that's optional. Also, it's optional to give these, but if you'd like to give them, this is how you can do it. You can actually put it inside this, write on it and put it inside and also your gift and give it. Some people today gave them separately. We don't care. You can give them next week or the week after. Next week I'll actually be away, but you can give them directly to Matthew and he will then give them unopened to me because I'm the only one that's going to see these. It just helps us know what people are giving. It helps us to budget. And if you'd like to do that, you're most welcome. Just one more thing we want to say. Consistent, joyful generosity. There have been surveys done for churches where they've got people to actually write down how much they think they give to the church. Then they've got everybody's numbers and added them up, and every time they do this, this is how much people think they give to the church, as against this is how much the church actually gets. Many people overestimate what they give. How do they do this? Well, let me tell you, I used to do this. When I first started earning money, I would be paid every week in a little envelope with cash in it. But those days are long gone. I now get paid directly into my bank account. The trouble is, it means you don't carry cash around. Many people just use their credit card or their debit card. And so you might come to church and you don't actually have that money to put in the offertory plate on the envelopes. So you think I'll make it up next week. And you don't. You just forget. Or you don't actually able to come to church and you don't actually make it up. Let me say, we want to encourage people to be consistent in this, if you possibly can. Because unfortunately, if you're not at church, the bills still have to be paid. And if people are more consistent, we think we might be able to raise that offertory. So two ways to help you be more consistent. One is to use the offertories envelopes, which are on the trolley at the back. Please take one and use it, and you can put one in each week. The other way that I have found personally very helpful for myself was to actually give a direct debit, a transfer from my bank account to the church's bank account. Now, for me, it just works really weirdly because each month I get money from the church's bank account, goes to my bank account, and then a couple of days later, I transfer some of it back. Now, that won't work for you because only I and Matthew are being paid by the church. But what you can do is you can schedule a transfer each month. And then if you forget or you don't have the cash, the church still gets the offertory. And so people, therefore, can be consistent and give what they intend to give. If you're into internet banking, this is an easy thing to do. So I just encourage you to consider that. But it's entirely up to you. We don't mind if you give cash, you give checks, you use the envelopes, you use electronic fund transfer, whatever. We just really encourage when people do give because it helps us to meet our budget. What we're going to do is, in a few minutes, after I've prayed, we're going to be having another activity that Matthew's going to organise, another second part of that round two. While that round two is happening, you can take your envelope and this, you can put it inside if you like, and put it in here at the front, and there's also one at the back. And if you don't want to give it today, give it to Matthew next week, or give it to me the following week. If you don't want to give it in the envelope, in the boxes, just give it to me personally. I'm the only one that's going to see these. Also, we'll be announcing the total in December. So we're giving people another couple of weeks to give before we announce the total. And I've been really excited about what's happened this morning. I've opened all the envelopes and I'm looking forward to what's going to happen tonight. Let me return to the events of yesterday to conclude. The events in Paris remind us of the state of our world. We are living in an age of uncertainty where terror can take place like that. Our response should, of course, be to pray and leave it to the governments to respond. But also, our more important response in an age of uncertainty is to enable more and more of our young people to have security, meaning and purpose in their life that comes through a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And giving generously is a way of making that happen more effectively through our church. So let's now pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Zacchaeus and his joyful generosity. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be generous to support the work of this church, especially amongst youth and young adults. And Lord, in the light of the terrible events in Paris, help us to have an increased focus on telling the good news about Jesus to more and more young children and youth in our community and also in our church. Please help us to think and pray about what we're giving. We thank you for those that have already given. We thank you for those that are giving tonight. And also we pray that others might think about giving in the next week or so. We thank you, Lord, for the joy that comes from being a cheerful giver. Amen. And I'll hand back to Matthew, who's going to tell us what we're going to do.